Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. Monday's morning edition on NPR featured a story about a Columbia biotech startup. We here at KBIA thought we'd give it an encore run in case you missed it. Here is morning edition host Renee Montaigne.
In parts of the Middle East, people drink camel milk. It boasts more vitamin C and iron than cow's milk, and it's lower in fat. But in Missouri, here in the U.S., some people are starting to rub it on their skin. That's because a Jordanian woman is bringing camel milk to the Midwest in the form of a skincare line. Christopher Husted of member station KBIA reports.
Today, there are 7 camels at a farm in Jordan waiting to be milked. That milk will go to a biotech company in Amman called Monojo. The scientists there analyzed the milk of the 1-hump mammals looking for 3 special antibodies. Antibodies are proteins that help fight off infections. They latch on to foreign pathogens and tell the body's immune system, intruder alert. Typically, these antibodies degrade in higher temperatures and acidic environments. But antibodies in camel milk are stronger.
We found that those proteins are very, very stable against temperature, high temperature, and against high acidity.
That's Penelope Shihab, the founder of Monojo in Jordan and the woman behind the startup in Missouri.
I don't know, maybe the reason because the camel can tolerate high temperature in the desert. So some of the scientists say that, but we couldn't confirm any of those suggestions.
Shihab's research team tested these camel milk antibodies on acne. Immunologist Khaled Al-Kaud, Shihab's research and development manager, says camel antibodies succeed where others fail because they remain intact longer at the site of inflammation. He says it was the results of their acne study that led them to develop a camel milk treatment.
We use skin formulas like, for example, gel or cream or serum, any type of formulation, and we put the whey of the camel whey that contains the antibodies in this formula.
The creams look similar to the ones you find at the drugstore. They're milky white and floral scented. Shihab says she's commercializing this formula in the U.S. first because Middle Eastern consumers trust American brands. Her colleague directed her to Missouri, a small market where she could learn the ropes of the U.S. biotech industry.
This is an $80,000 autoclave. Obviously, there's no need for our companies each to buy one if we can put it in a shared resource area.
Jake Halliday heads the University of Missouri's Life Sciences Business Incubator here in Columbia, where 25 startup companies share lab space and equipment. Shihab's office sits in the corner. A piece of paper with the name Columbia Biotech is fixed to the cubicle. Jake Halliday says Shihab's product is just what the incubator looks for.
They should have technologies that in turn would become products or services, but mainly products, that have the potential to achieve $20 million in sales a year after about 4 or 5 years of development of the company.
Shihab calls her product SkinU and is trying to get it approved as an acne treatment by the Food and Drug Administration. Meanwhile, she's lined up a supplier in Dubai, a 3,000 camel farm to supply milk for the SkinU line, which now includes a moisturizer and a foot cream. Samples have been passed out to spas and salons across Colombia. Still, Shihab says she's aware of the challenges she faces breaking into an unfamiliar market.
It's a male-dominated industry, yes, that's true. But where I started in the Middle East, there is no men, there is no woman. So I'm the only woman in the country who's the CEO for a biotech company. That was really very difficult, tough for me.
If sales go well in Missouri, Shihab plans to take her SkinU line into the Chicago and New York markets next, before expanding nationwide. For NPR News, I'm Christopher Husted in Columbia. Now, after hearing Shihab's unique story, I called Laurel Smith Doer, who's a professor of sociology at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. She studied immigrant and women entrepreneurs in biotech in the New England area. I asked her what she's found in her research.
We were surprised that immigrant entrepreneurs or foreign-born founders of firms were so highly represented, so that over 40% of the firms had at least one founder who was born outside of the United States.
And what about women?
You know, there's some expectation that maybe women would do either better because it's less hierarchical or worse because there aren't as many rules and sort of, you know, set job ladders and things like that. So in my research, I found that women scientists did better in biotech in terms of leading a laboratory. They were almost 8 times more likely to be leading a lab in biotech than their women colleagues in universities or large pharmaceutical corporations, which are more hierarchical.
What are some of the obstacles that women or immigrants still have to overcome when trying to either launch a business or be involved in a business in biotech
right.
specifically?
Yeah, so that's, you know, so all of this that I've been talking about in terms of, you know, women's leadership in biotech is more at, you know, the laboratory levels, but it's very okay. different when you look at the very top and look at who's the founder of the firm, who's the CEO, and that is still very much male-dominated in biotech, as in, you know, every other field. So I'd say that still, you know, is the area where we don't see the same level of equity as in other areas of the industry. One thing that people have noted is that the venture capitalists who are funding biotech are almost exclusively male. And so, you know, there is something to the fact that who you're going to trust, right? We call this homophily in sociology, that you're much more likely to trust people who look like you. And so if, you know, most of the venture capitalists are men, then it's probably less likely that women will be funded. This entrepreneur who you're studying mm-hmm. is really unique in terms of, you know, she's a woman. She's also an immigrant woman. So in our study, we found that, you know, the founders of biotech firms who are women were much more likely to be U.S.-born life scientists, and that the immigrant founders were much more likely to be men. And so sort of the missing category there is women immigrant entrepreneurs. So the fact that, you know, she's got this kind of double hurdle to overcome is quite remarkable. And the fact that she's from a Middle Eastern country is also something that we don't see as often in, at least in our data on New England biotech firms.
That was Laurel Smith Doerr, a professor of sociology at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. And that's all for Business Beat this week. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.